The allegations of sexual misconduct that have ricocheted through Hollywood and other industries have largely missed the Nashville music scene. But in private conversations and online forums, many female songwriters say they've had moments with collaborators that border on harassment and even assault. WPLN's Emily Siner has the story.
Almost every week, Laurel Sorensen invites Katie Crone over to her house to write. They make coffee in the kitchen, then head upstairs to the loft, where Sorensen keeps a keyboard.
I can't even look at you, dredging up the past like it's something new.
Today, they're writing a song about a fight Sorensen had with her boyfriend over her past relationships. Crone prompts her to go deeper.
You're dredging up the past like it's something new. Like, you didn't know what you got into. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what would you say next?
This is called a co-write. It's an almost mythical method of making music. Two songwriters sit alone in a room, swap personal stories as fodder for lyrics, and end up a few hours later with an original song.
The whole point of a co-write is very vulnerable. It's like, let's talk about your breakup. Let's talk about your feelings. Let's get really emotionally intimate.
Emotional intimacy, or getting to the truth, as songwriters often say, this is where the magic happens. But Sorensen says it's also where conversations can veer away from the artistic into the uncomfortable.
You know, if you're talking about love or sex or relationships or whatever, it allows them to talk to you inappropriately in a way that it's hard to tell where the line is.
She says male co-writers have asked her about explicit relationship details, things she wouldn't talk about with almost anyone.
It's weird because for the sake of the song, it's like, okay, we can talk about this and I'm chill and I am open, but at the same time, it doesn't feel professional.
There was one particularly bad experience where the person Sorensen was writing with asked her to go to a show with him afterward. They were both musicians. Going to a show is normal. But there, he started to dance with her inappropriately.
Then he kept touching me and then trying to, like, kiss my neck and stuff.
She escaped to the bathroom and called a friend to pick her up. Between that experience and just feeling on edge during other co-writes, she realized she didn't want to share her vulnerable side with male songwriters.
It was not really a conscious decision, but more of just, like, something that I put into practice. Like, I don't really write with men anymore.
For most women, cutting themselves off from men isn't an option. Co-writing is networking, and writing with anyone who's further along in their career could be helpful. But in my reporting for this story, several women said they'd agreed to a co-write thinking it would help them professionally, only to realize their male writing partner had ulterior motives. Like, he assumed it was a date, or the guy kept placing his hand on her knee, even though she kept moving it away, or the one who started calling in the middle of the night to talk. Or in Sarah Clanton's case.
I was told that, you know, oh my gosh, you're just so talented and let's talk about your career.
Clanton is a singer-songwriter who plays cello, often plucking it like a guitar.
Trapped in separate cages.
Just after she moved to Nashville 3 years ago, this songwriter she admired took an interest in her.
And I thought, oh, I've got this kind of mentor. You know, he's got connections and he believes in me.
But then he started texting with increasingly sexual messages until...
He was like, you know, sleep with me or I won't talk to you anymore. And he was like, don't tell anybody about this. And literally, I didn't tell anybody this until the hashtag Me Too started going around. And I was like, I need to talk about this.
Clanton says nothing quite so aggressive has happened since, but she also has an advantage now. She has a publisher who sets her up on co-writes. Bobby Reimer with the Writer's Den Music Group says the industry is small enough to know who the troublemakers are.
But your ears perk up once you hear it, and they damn sure perk up if you hear it more than once. I believe 99% of the people are good, but that 1% sure does get around a lot.
It's unclear, of course, how big of an issue this is. The president of the largest songwriters trade group in Nashville says no instances of sexual harassment during co-writes have ever come to his attention. But in a private Facebook group for Nashville female musicians, women periodically swap stories of inappropriate collaborators and sometimes even call them out by name. Attorney Stephanie Taylor says she's happy to see more musicians talking to each other about harassment.
Some people think they have to put up with it and it's just par for the course. I hope that this Me Too movement is helping more people realize, no, it's not.
Taylor has been a part of that shift. She recently represented a country singer who accused her former label of having a culture of sexual harassment. But Taylor says most songwriters don't have any kind of legal recourse. So instead, some women probably just leave town and walk away from their dream. That, Taylor says, is the real shame. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Emily Siner.